This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part 21 in a series on the Gospel of John. This message is taken from John chapter 7, verses 1 through 21, and is titled, Take Me to Your Leader. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Monday, school starts. Some of you started last week. I've had so many students just run up to me and just in utter glee tell me how excited they are that tomorrow they get to go to school. I lie about other things too. There isn't one student that ever came to me and said they were ready to go, but there it is, they're at it. And as they go into a new school year, we've got some incredible teachers in this church. Pray for them, but also we start a new ministry year, 22 years as a church, and we're headed into another ministry year, and we always start at the school year, kind of go at the same time as that, and we're continuing our study in the Word of God, looking in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bible, take them. Let's turn to John 10 as we continue our study in this book. As we start a new year, we're going to talk about taking us to our leader, Jesus as our leader, and there is no greater leader than Jesus Christ in all of human history. I've read a lot of biographies, so have you. I was talking to a business leader the other day, and he was telling me he loves to read biographies of great leaders. And he's read a ton of them, and I have too. I'll tell you, there is no leader greater in the history of humankind than Jesus Christ. And today we're going to talk about his leadership. And the thing I love about Christ's leadership is that it's not behavior modification. You know, psychology 101, do you remember that B.F. Skinner, Pavlov's dogs and all that behavior modification through rewards and punishment? Some of you parents are trying to use this on your kids. A little behavior modification never hurt. If you try to get people to fall in line, God never uses manipulative behavior modification on us just to get us to do what he wants us to do. It's grace that transforms. Jesus' leadership is so unique because it is transformation by association. The more you're with him, the more you change. The more you do change and want to change from the inside out. And so that's what we're going to talk about as we talk about the importance of leadership. And I'll tell you, this the significance of leadership was brought home to me a couple of weeks ago when our staff went to the Willow Creek Leadership Summit, the other Willow Creek, the little Willow Creek in Chicago of 10,000 members or so. But we went to this leadership summit. It was broadcast worldwide. We went to a local televised live broadcast and joined 100,000 people around the world in a televised leadership conference. And guys, I got to tell you, it was absolutely phenomenal to see and listen to these leaders. Here's a sampling of some of the leaders. Of course, in the center, with the in the top center is Bill Hybels, who started Willow Creek Community Church, the other Willow Creek, and he has made an influence worldwide. He's an incredible leader, gifted leader. And then Ephraim Smith on the far left in the center there started a church. I learned so much about leadership. Leadership oozed out of these guys, pours. Ephraim Smith in the inner city of Minneapolis started an incredible church. Next to him, Bill George, the guy standing like this. He's a former CEO of Medtronic and he's a professor at one of those little schools up in the Northeast. I don't know, Harvard Business School. He's an incredible leader, writer, author of Authentic Leadership in his book, True North, and a dynamic guy. The guy in the center with his finger up like this, do you know who he is? No, you don't. But everybody here has probably bought something from one of his stores. Brad Anderson, the CEO of Best Buy. I go into Best Buy and I want to buy something. I don't need maybe what they've got, but I just go in there and they got all kinds of cool stuff. They got cool phones. I want one. I got one. I got to go. I want one. He, you know, he's an incredible marketer, an incredible leader. Down in the far left, we all know who he is, don't we? Chuck Colson of Prison Fellowship. In the center is a man who is in charge and the founder, Gary Hagen is his name, president and CEO of International Justice Mission. Anybody heard of International Justice Mission? Great, incredible organization. He was a prosecutor in the federal level, decided that he was called to bring justice where justice was needed for, well, in so many places in the world. And so they've got teams all over the world, literally. One of the teams goes in and tries to rescue children, girls, little girls, who are literally prisoners of the sex trade in Thailand or in Asia, in different countries, in different places. And literally, they've got pictures of them rescuing these little girls from underneath buildings, dungeons, where they have been held captive. But that's just one instance of justice that he is seeking to bring about in a powerful way. Now, there's two ladies. There's two ladies. Have I got role models for you? The one on top right, Susan Kopp, started, did I get that right? Yeah, Susan Kopp started Teach Wendy Kopp. Wendy Kopp started Teach for America. She was going to Princeton and was from a privileged home in Texas area and one of the big Highland Park or Dallas or something out there. And went and taught in the inner city and said, you know, I'm going to go teach in the inner city. And so she went and taught in the inner city, and God gave her a vision that was incredible. It's so big, bigger than she could even imagine. She was a little astounded at the vision God gave her. So what she did, she decided she was going to found this thing, Teach for America, and start calling the best and the brightest teachers in America to give 2 years to go into the inner city and teach the inner city kids. And because of the inequity, she said, they don't have what the other schools have. They don't have what I had growing up. She said, and so she did. She does. She's kind of like a female Mormon missionary. You know, give 2 years. Teach in the inner cities. A lot of these teachers are doing that. And the results are, the scores of kids are going up. There she is. She's incredible. You should read her book. Google her name and read more. Ladies, she ought to be one of your heroes. Catherine Roy, the girl that's got her hands on these two guys. The guy on her right's an ex-con. She started a ministry called Prison Entrepreneurship. She was another privileged young lady who was working on Wall Street, and a friend said, come with me, we're going to Texas. So they went to Texas for the weekend from the Northeast someplace. And she said, where are we going? We're going to have fun in Texas. Took her to the prison. Introduced her to the prisoners. And she went and said, these guys have got obvious leadership skills. She's looking at murderers, embezzlers, drug dealers who ran high-level organizations. And she caught a vision. And she's turning cons into entrepreneurs. Now, okay, you guys know I like to do men's ministry. That's something a guy ought to do, right? A guy ought to go into the prison. A businessman ought to go into the prison and begin to teach these cons how to become entrepreneurs. This little girl. She gets in and she gets these 40 cons into a room at a time and says, okay, it's enough of this messing around. I'm going to teach you how to go back out into the world and make a difference. She talks to him like one of them. And the graduation rate is incredible. They're not going back to prison. They're starting businesses, paying taxes, employing other people, using their skills. A lot of them are coming to faith in Christ. Leadership. Oh, did I tell you? They're all Christians. And they're all motivated in their leadership by the greatest leader who ever lived. His name is Jesus Christ. Leadership is influence. The essence of leadership is influence. And And we have all been influenced by other people. We've all been, we'd like to think we're creative and we're unique and we're one of a kind, but we've all been influenced by other people. Take me to your leader and I don't even have to know you. I can tell you some stuff about you. Tell me who influenced you and I can tell you some stuff about you. You're an influencer. Too. We've been influenced, but we're influencers. It's kind of scary sometimes. The influence that we bring into the lives of our kids and friends and people we know. One time, this happens to me sometimes because I'm a pastor. I'm up front and talking to people. One time I was talking to a guy. He said, and we were talking about a particular issue. And I said, why do you think that way? And he says, because I'm just following something you said in your sermon one time. I said, what did I say in my sermon? And he told me what I said in my sermon. I said, did I say that? It was good. It's pretty good. But I'm not sure I said it. But I'll take credit because it was good. We are influenced. And we are all influencers. Who you allow to influence you is arguably one of the greatest things about your life. Because you will influence other people. And when we come to this text today, I'm absolutely taken with what Jesus says about leadership, what Jesus models about leadership. Tim Timmons said it years ago. He was a leader, and he said, there's three kinds of people when it comes to leadership. There's innovators, there's adapters, and there are adopters. There are some very few people who are true innovators. There are some people who, most people, are adopters. And there are others who are adapters. They take what other people say and they adapt it to their own life. Or some people just adopt it straight up. Jesus is the only true innovator in his leadership. And I'll tell you, he's the only one to follow. And so this text is so powerful. I've preached on this before. You've heard it before. It's one of the greatest texts, greatest words of Jesus, John chapter 10. Now, because most of you know this, I'm going to read it in the Living Version of the Bible, the Message by Eugene Peterson, a little different translation. John chapter 10, 1 through 21 or so. Jesus says, let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So that happens sometimes after I preach. I go home and they'll say, what were you saying on point one? That happens to all communicators. I'm glad it happened to Jesus. Sometimes Jesus told us something, they had no idea what he was talking about. He tried again. I'll be explicit. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. Will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they might have real and eternal life. More and better than they ever dreamed of. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. My sheep know me. In the same way the Father knows me and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life. And so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I also have the right to take it up again. I received this authority personally from my Father. This kind of talk caused another split in the Jewish ranks. A lot of them were saying, he's crazy, a maniac out of his head completely. Why bother listening to him? But others weren't so sure. These aren't the words of a crazy man. Can a maniac open blind eyes? Wow. In Jesus' style of leadership, we see here he reflects really four elements of leadership. And I want to tell you right now that if you will let him lead you, if you will follow him, he will lead you to a life that's free and innovative and powerful. And the first element of leadership that Jesus illustrates here is his authenticity. Now, if you have read anything in business literature today, you know that the word authenticity is the buzzword. I am an authentic leader. And everybody is trying to be authentic. What is authenticity? A lot of people think it's just spilling your guts. But authenticity means this, that a leader is out for your good. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that I'm really out for the good of my sheep. My leadership has an authenticity, a genuineness to it, because I'm not trying to fleece the sheep. I'm not trying to rustle the sheep. I'm trying to do the best for the sheep. And he uses that illustration of how a true shepherd comes up to the front of the sheep pen. Now, how many of you have seen a sheep pen? Kind of raise your hand if you've seen a sheep pen. Some of you have. I'm utterly shocked because I thought I'd have 100%. Nobody's ever seen a sheep pen. I have never seen a sheep pen. I wouldn't know what they look like. I've been in Israel and I've seen shepherds leading sheep, but I haven't. But wait a minute. Christmas is coming. And what were the shepherds doing out in the fields at night? What were they doing? You remember, Luke? They were watching the sheep by night, right? Isn't that what shepherds do? They stay up all night watching the sheep? No, they don't. A lot of them, the really smart entrepreneurial shepherds, build sheep pens so they can get some sleep. Then they hire one guy to watch the gate. And that's what happened in Israel. They had sheep pens all over the place. One guy's watching the gate. And so in the morning, and sometimes what they do is they put several flocks together. They just, you know, like my flock and David's flock, your flock, and your flock, and they'd all be put together. So in the morning, the shepherd comes up, and he calls his own sheep by name, and if he's an imposter, he's trying to get in there and steal the sheep some other way, but they won't listen to his voice. But I don't know what a shepherd says, but a shepherd, we know, had names for each of the sheep, and they knew his voice. What does a shepherd say in Hebrew or Aramaic? Did they say, here, sheepy, sheepy? I don't know. I don't know. But he'd call them, and they knew his voice, and they would follow. And so they'd come out, and they'd follow their shepherd, and he would take them where? He'd take them to good pastures. He wouldn't take them into the barren waste. The world is barren. This picture of the shepherd right here shows that the world is really very barren and that the shepherd has to lead the sheep to the right place where there is a pasture, because left to themselves, they don't know where to go to get good food. Jesus says that that there is always someone who is willing to lead you and lead you astray. He says the true shepherd comes right in the front gate. He tells you who he is. He tells you what his agenda is. He's not trying to climb up some other way like a thief. But there are thieves out there. Guys, listen. Jesus is trying to make the point that the sheep have a responsibility to understand that there is always somebody who is willing to lead you and lead you astray. There is no shortage of leaders out there. Last night, I turned on the TV, watched a little bit of, did you see Rick Warren leading this town hall meeting with Barack Obama? And then he brought John McCain. Didn't call it that, but I even bought Time Magazine this week just to read the article because Rick was on the front page. He's one of my heroes as a leader. This is unprecedented. A pastor, before an election, gets the two major, a pastor It was absolutely unprecedented. And I was just mostly thinking about leadership and thinking about this. Who in their right mind would ever want to be president of the United States? That's what I was thinking. You've got no life. I mean, I've read the biographies. I collect the pins, you know, the political buttons. I love it. I love to look back on the political buttons sometimes that I have on my wall, because you look at when they first ran for office and they're younger, they got dark hair, they don't have many wrinkles. Second time they run for office, they look a little worse for the wear. And by the time they're done, man, they look like death eating a cracker. They have no life. Why would you want to be president of the United States? Except maybe if God calls you to do that, I suppose. But there's always, Jesus tells us, don't be cynical, but understand that there's always somebody who's willing to lead you. And the sheep need to understand that. Yeah, young people, you got to understand this. There's always somebody that will tell you how to lead your life. Always somebody who's willing to step up and say, I have the answer for your life. And but Jesus says the true sheep know the false leaders when they see them, and they simply don't follow the false leaders. Guys, don't panic. We come to the talking about politics this time around, and it's funny to hear people talk to me about it, and they say, I don't know. I'm worried. I don't know. We got running for office. I just don't know. I'm worried. What are you worried about? There is one leader, and he's risen from a tomb. So I don't know. I'm worried that that people will follow him. The church will be led astray. They might vote Democratic. They might vote Republican. What matters is that the true sheep know the true shepherd who's in charge. Now, if you want to know who to vote for, I'll tell you before the election, okay? Come ask me, and I'll tell you. But the reality is that we don't need to panic, because the right leader's in charge. However, it is important to understand that there are always people who are willing to lead us. Hinduism is big today. Do you notice that? Hinduism is really big. And Jesus says that there are leaders out there who are willing to steal and rob and destroy. You know what Hinduism teaches, and one of its teaching is that your bad stuff has to be worked off by your good stuff, so that you got to work off the bad karma so you can get the good karma, so that one day you can eventually die and be assimilated into the amalgam of unconsciousness out there in the greater unconsciousness. Wonderful, isn't it? I think that robs people. I think it robs you of the joy of knowing that you can be forgiven. Buddhism says there's no such thing as an individual self. You are not an individual self. I know. It looks like there is you and me here, but it's not real. There's no individuals. We're one, really, and you are a phantom. Just want you to know that. And the best thing to do is to kind of sort of block out that there are all these individual selves out there, and get away from the world and forget about it. I think that robs people of understanding that there are real problems, and that we can really help people out there. It's atheism, Islam. That's a tough one. The big essential problem with Islam is that God is so unpredictable. God is mean and nasty. He might be a God of mercy. He might be a God of grace, but you just never know. I think that robs people of a father. Militant atheism. Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, have you read him? They're saying now that Christianity and religion, all religion, is the major problem in the world. You get rid of religion and you get rid of problems. My problem with that is that you get rid of God altogether. Atheism leads to no morality. And I think that robs a culture. Ethics. Loving each other. Jesus said, the thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. I came to give you life and life abundantly, and atheism in the long run takes away all morals. I love this little story Ravi Zacharias wrote in his book, The End of Reason. He tells a story in the Houston Chronicle, March 16, 2007, about an 11-year-old named Roger Holloway. 11-year-old boy, Roger Holloway, his baby sister was delivered stillborn at 31 weeks and would have been disposed of in the usual manner, nameless and unmarked. The fetus, simply marked fetus girl Holloway, had been held at the Harris County Medical Examiner's Office. For 1 year, young Roger battled with the authorities for the body of the baby he had named Rachel. How old is this guy? 11. And he battles for the body of his baby sister for a year with the authority. His mother was in a drug rehab facility miles away. The baby's father was unknown. Roger's own father was dead, but this little guy fought long and hard, speaking to the powers that be and even getting a nearby church to donate a burial plot. And on March 15, 2007, Roger and his three cousins held the funeral and carried the white casket to the resting place. In the casket containing Rachel's body, he placed a baby blanket, flowers, stuffed animals. Since my dad died, I never got to know him, the boy said after the graveside service. Since my sister died, I never got to know her either. The good thing is she's with God and my dad in heaven, and she's going to rest in peace. The impact this little boy made was incredible. His mother calls from the rehab center, asks for forgiveness. Why would a little boy do something like that? Well, it's faith in Christ, because morality comes from God. And without it, we're robbed. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. What's the essence of Jesus' leadership is authenticity. It is not just the spilling of guts. Okay, I'm going to be an authentic leader right now. Here it is. I'm going to tell you all of my leadership faults for the last 22 years. You ready? No, because you don't have time for all of that. And you know what? You don't really want to hear them. My enemies aren't here anymore. And my friends say, oh, Pete, please don't tell me. I don't want to know. The essence of authenticity is, I am out for your good. And that's what Jesus says. I am out for your good, and I will lead you well. The second ability. I love this. Jesus says not only that he's the real deal out for your good, but he's got ability. And if you look at the text of Scripture in John 10:9, he says this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me might be saved, could possibly be saved. There's some options here that maybe I could help you save yourself. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus has ultimate ability to actually save us for eternal life. This is the gospel. He said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, in difference from the Pharisees that give you rules and regulations, I'm never going to give you anything that's going to mess up your life. What I will give you are truth and words and ability to change your life. Ability. Give me an authentic leader any day. We all like authentic leaders. I like authentic leaders. But I don't want just authenticity. I don't want somebody just spilling their guts. I want somebody that has ability to make a transformation, to do something. And Jesus is that leader. I had breakfast with a 22-year-old. He's 65, but we've known each other for 22 years. Not in this church, a businessman. And we're sitting across the table talking, and I know his business has gone through tough times. Has your business gone through tough times? Some of you are doing great, but there's a lot of chaos too in a lot of businesses out there, and some of you are still trying to make it happen. So I was looking at him and I said, how's your business? And he goes, well, you know when you talk to a businessman who's trying to tell you the bad news without making it seem so bad. He said, well, frankly, I'm working more hours than I want to work. I'm 65. I wish I was taking a few more vacations. And we're making up some of our losses. We're making up some of our losses. And we're starting. I cut to the chase. So how are you doing in the midst of all this? He goes, I'm praying a lot. He said, and I want you to don't hear this from guys. He says, I've been led to my knees a lot. And I'm going to Jesus a lot. And it's been good. Guys, be thankful for the times that you get to the end of yourself and you can't do anything. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for the time when there's nobody to call. When you can't call anybody up and say, would you help come fix this thing? Would you help me? Would you give me advice? I know. We're into people. We're into support groups. We're into community. I'm into community. We all want that. But be thankful that there are times when you come to the end of yourself and the end of your resources and you go to Him and Him alone. Jesus is really all you need, but you will never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And then when Jesus is all you have, you will know that Jesus is truly all you really need, but you won't know that until He leads you to the end of yourself, because He's got ability, power. He's the risen Lord. That's the leader you want to follow, the authentic leader with ability as well. He's authentic. But the third thing is he is a leader of sacrifice. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The true sign of a leader is what he's really willing to sacrifice for the people he leads. Now that comes pretty close to home. And I'll tell you the honest truth. In the last 22 years, have I always led you with a desire to sacrifice myself? Have I always done it right? No, I'll tell you, I haven't. I wanted to, but I haven't. I'll tell you the one who always has and always will sacrifice for you. His name is Jesus. And that's why our heroes ought to be people like Jesus. And even though I love these leaders, I respect Rick Warren and Bill Hybels and these guys, nobody comes close to the level of sacrifice. Paul put it this way in Romans 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man. Someone might dare to die, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God through Him? Sacrifice. Authenticity, ability, sacrifice, relationship is the last one. And we see that in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then He says, I have sheep who are not of this pen. And He's looking at the Jewish believers who are following Him. And He says, you are my Jewish flock, Jewish Christians. But I've got followers who are of another sheep pen, and I've got to call them too. Well, He already said who those people were. They're Gentiles. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Whenever we are called into a relationship with Jesus, we are led into relationships with more people than we want to be in a relationship with. Can we talk? I know more people than I remember I've met. I have more relationships. Okay, I'll be honest with you. This is time for confession, Sunday morning. Confession is good for the soul. I know more people than I want to know. Mostly, I'll tell you this. I know more people than I can help. And most of the time, I feel utterly incapable of doing it. Then he says, son, I'm not doing this thing just with you. I got this flock. And I'm in a relationship with you, And they're in a relationship with me, and together we're in a worldwide expanding web of relationship, because that's just the way it is. He's a leader who expands us, not just to think about ourselves. That's why our mission as a church has been for 22 years. We're a Christ-centered Presbyterian church, committed to leading people to faith in Christ, wherever they are, here or in Mexico or wherever. Building them up in the faith and deploying them as active servants of the Great Commission. The shortened form is building people in truth and love. That's what we're about, building people, because Jesus is about building people. He leads us into more relationships than we know what to do with to make a difference. You in the Inquirers class are going to get this a little deeper today. We're all ministers and messengers and managers of the time, treasures, and talents that God has given us. All of us. And we get to learn the art of forgetting ourselves, as the song sang, as He leads us into relation. I hope, if you don't know Christ, if you've never been a follower of Christ, and you've been sort of, you're here kind of because you got drug here, or because you kind of finally said, you know, I'm not leading my life very well. I invite you to follow somebody who really matters. Not me, not any of these other leaders that we put up here. I invite you to follow Jesus Christ, because He is the one that can lead you with authenticity and ability and sacrifice into a relationship that matters. And you could accept Him today. For those of us who have been following Him since before the Apostle Paul, forever it seems like, or you've been in this church, we've got charter members still in this church. What do we all, and some of you grew up in this church, you were babies, now you're adults with grown up responsibilities and kids yourself. Talking about making me feel old. Let's continue as we move ahead to do nothing less than follow Jesus. He's the only one worth following. He's the only one that sets us free. Take me to your leader, and I'll tell you some things about you. And if your leader's Jesus, you will become also a person of authenticity and ability and sacrifice and many relationships. You take it to heart. Let's pray. If you've never embraced Christ, I invite you to Him, not to some earthly leader who will let you down or take advantage of you. You could pray simply like this today. You could say, Lord, I need You to lead me. So I'm giving up my self-leadership to follow You. Help me to trust that You will lead me well. Come into my life and turn my life upside down for Your honor and for my good. Lord, the rest of us who already follow You ask that You'd continue to lead us and to build us. And thank You that You are such a good shepherd. We'll trust You today and for another week and for another year as we pray these things in Your holy name. Amen.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org, and our phone number is 407-699-8211.